T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Jeff Orlowski with us today. Toby Altizer is, well, he's at the Ryder Cup. I don't know what they do today, but he's at the Ryder Cup. I don't know what they do this whole week. It started Monday, where there's like events going on. And the actual Ryder Cup starts on Friday. So I'm not sure what Toby's watching. Practice? Jeff Orlowski was actually, Pipe Bomb, you were there yesterday.
I was there yesterday, yeah.
Okay, first of all, you and the Ryder Cup are just two things I didn't think would ever be said in the same sentence.
I love the Ryder Cup, my favorite golf event, hands down. You know, what do they do it every 2 years or something like that, but I love it. I love match play and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was cool going to the practice round yesterday.
Do you like regular golf? Do you watch it on the weekends?
You know, it's not a religious thing. You know, it's not like NASCAR or baseball or
like, do
football.
You watch the U.S. Open?
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you know, anything like that, man. Big golf tournaments, I'm all in on.
I'm not watching the Huntington Bank Classic.
No, okay, I won't either. But The Tour Championship a couple weeks ago was exciting. That was phenomenal.
Okay. All right. So you went to the Ryder Cup and it was just practice.
Yeah.
And how did you buy a ticket? How'd you get there?
My buddy called me up. What was yesterday? Tuesday?
Yeah.
He called me up Monday night. You know, you got plans tomorrow? So, you know, you joking? No. You know, I don't do anything. And he's like, yeah, you want to go to the Ryder Cup? And I said, yeah, sure, you know. And so then I hang up with him, and I call the old lady right away to get permission.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
Oh, God, what a mistake that was.
Oh, why?
Dude, you know, okay, so my friends, two guys came up from Chicago. They met me, you know, right off the expressway, and we went up there. And one of them has, you know, that step counter thingy, you know, or whatever on his phone or, you know, watch or I don't know.
Trying to count my steps, too.
Yeah, see, it would laugh at me with my normal steps per day. But, like, it's literally, I walked over 8 miles yesterday, which is probably double my yearly total until yesterday. So, oh my, and there's not 2 feet of flat ground on that entire course. It's insane. My legs are burning. I feel like I'm about to die.
So why did you, when you said yes, did you know that you had to walk?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. But, you know, and then maybe it was because the Ryder Cup and you only got 12 guys on, you know, on each side. So there's only 24 dudes it was boring.
Yeah.
It was boring, man. we sat there, and the one guy wanted to get there early, right?
Sure.
So so I get picked up on like 43 and Brown Deer at, I want to say, 7 in the morning.
Okay.
And we get up there, and, you know, they've got this the huge PGA store, Ryder Cup, everything. So we walk through there, and very impressive. They got tons of, like, really nice stuff. But then you look at the price tag, and it's like, oh, hell no.
Right, $300 for a jacket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. They had, like, I saw a hoodie, and I'm looking at that, and it was, like, 165 bones. It's like, you are out of your mind. I said, you know, I left my sunglasses in my car. And so we get about halfway up there, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't have my shades. And dude's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure they sell some, you know, there. So we're walking through the store, and they've got, like, three different cases of sunglasses. But they're all locked up and all this kind of stuff. There were a couple people working there that I could have said, oh, hey, miss, you know, can you tell me how much this pair is? But they were behind a glass. I'm like, hell no. That means I can't afford it.
Yeah.
But it was so cloudy yesterday, I didn't need it. But, you know, but yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was, but, well, it wasn't fun. It was great. It was, you know, cool, but it was boring as hell.
It's one of those things. It's sometimes I go to a concert where I'm like, hey, I'm at this concert. And two songs play, and I'm like, all right, I went to the concert. I can say I've been to the concert. I would like to go home now.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
It was. You know, we sat there. Like, the one guy was straight into it. And my best friend that I went up there with, me and him, you know, he's the one, he got me tickets to game one of the World Series back in the day when the White Sox were in it, and you know, he gets tickets to all the fun stuff. But, you know, we had, like, for example, we had Skybox tickets for a Bulls game, you know, a decade ago or whatever. And it was all food, all drinks, everything was included. We left at, like, I think the beginning of the second quarter. You know, we got there, got hammered, ate, and then, you know, we were gone well before halftime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I'm thinking it was kind of, you know, this was going to kind of be the same thing. No.
When did you stay till?
Oh, God. I think we left like 3 o'clock, something wow. like that.
That's a long day for you.
Oh, dude. I didn't get a nap. It was brutal.
Yeah, I got to get a nap.
I was a little cranky yesterday.
I would imagine.
We said, you know, like
20,000 steps and no nap.
Dude, the course is absolutely gorgeous. You know, it picturesque, beautiful. You know, when I look at that and then I look at the crap I'll play on the weekends, you know, it you know, come on. I would probably shoot about a 400 on that course. But, you know, we go into grandstands by the first tee. We watch all the Americans tee off. And then once the three groups went through, then we, you know, hightail it over to the first par three, which is hole three. Watch that. And, oh, man, it was like they were throwing darts at the green.
Yeah, now they're pretty good.
Yeah, those guys don't suck. And, you know, and then we went to another par three. And then they're like, oh, yeah, let's go on the back nine and catch the European squad. I'm like, I thought we were getting ready to leave, you know. So we're walking over to the back nine. We get we start walking around by 18 and stuff. And I'm like, you know what, guys? I was like, you guys go have fun. I'm going to go sit right here in the fairway here on 18, and I'll wait for you. And when you're done doing what you're doing, come back and get me.
Okay.
So it.
Yeah, that's a long day, man. I'm not gonna hold that against you.
Well, it was rough, but you know, it was interesting. First time I've ever, you know, been at a golf event. And all that. And, you know, it was cool. The funnest part was the practice tees, you know, and seeing Bryson out there just banging drives and you know, and stuff like that. The crowd was wild and cracking jokes at these guys. And Bryson in particular, you know, was interacting with the crowd and stuff, which was cool. But you know, just seeing all the guys that you see on TV up close was interesting. But you know, overall on the excitement factor, probably a C-.
Well, that's what's going to make it fun this weekend is when it's actual competition for sure. But then also, this is the golf event where people are allowed to go nuts.
Oh yeah,
you know, every other golf event you got to be. You know, you got to be so quiet. Mm-hmm. And then one guy yells, "Baba Booey," and it's like a whole referendum on how golf is out of hand when really, who cares? It came after anyway. But this, I mean, they're, you know, it's Europe versus the United States. And it's great that this event is here. You know, Wisconsin is really, even though it's nice for like 3 months of the year, it's become a golf like destination. There's just, I mean, a ton of courses throughout the state. You guys, if you play, you know. And with Whistling Straits here and Aaron Hills, and it's just been great on the international level. Like, this is not just a tour event or even a major. This is the international event that's been held in like some of the biggest cities in the world. And now it's coming to a little town called Haven, which I always forget exists until I remember that the Whistling Straits is not actually in Sheboygan. I'm like, oh, what town is it in? Oh, it's in a place called Haven. There's this little corner bar there, Haven Bar and Grill, I think, or Haven Sports Pub.
Okay.
That must just be dead all year round. And then they're just packed when events like this come. Oh, it's going to be great, too. You're going to see, like, everybody that you know is going to go except for you. That's how I feel. My wife is going somehow.
Really?
Yeah, on Friday.
Wow.
Okay. She's going.
That's awesome.
I'm not going. I mean, I would love to go. I don't have any friends calling me up at midnight on a Monday saying, hey, you want to go to this great event? This event here, what is it, 2021? I got a triple check. They planned this in 2005.
Yeah, I know.
And then it was supposed to be, obviously, last year, and then COVID. So now it's this year. This has been 16 years in the works, and here we are. It's the Ryder Cup this weekend. You got all the news stations setting up desk at the Ryder Cup this week, even for the practice stuff. You know, so it's pretty cool that it's here, obviously, but when the U.S. Open was here then, I didn't go to that either, you know, and I felt some regret towards that, and I would be reminded that it was here because every time I would go anywhere, I'm talking to a Brewer game, I'm talking to the store, I'm talking to the drive-through, there'd always be one person wearing U.S. Open gear, like, hey, I went, Aaron Hills, everybody's got the gear, everybody's got it, so I think the same thing's going to happen with the Ryder Cup. It's going to feel like everybody that you know is there except for me.
Yeah, you know, it'll be kind of like the Ice Bowl where there, you know, there was 47 yeah. million people in attendance. But
now that I was at.
Oh yeah, me too. It but you know, it confuses my little head because all the swag said Ryder Cup 2020 and I'm like, is it? You know. So
they're like doing what the Olympics did?
Yeah, oh yeah. All the stuff still's got 2020 on it. But, you know, bring a fat wallet if you're going. Bottles of water were $5. Beer, the cheapest beer was $12, and that was for 16 ounces. But there's a couple stands that you could find where you can get a 25-ouncer for $15.
Mm.
So you got to kind of shop around on that. Be smart if you're going out there to, you know, to forget your name and everything and forget how boring it is. You know, like, maybe if they had, like, Bucks dancers or a marching band going through these holes when no one's on it or something, you know, dudes juggling axes or something, you know. You got to have something. Because, like, I was sitting there on the fairway of 18 waiting for these European guys to come through, and there was just nothing. You know, every now and then you get a random hot chick walk by, so, you know, you had something to look at, but it was boring as hell, man. You know, they need some kind of action. Like, you know, obviously, you know, I love NASCAR. And if NASCAR, if there's a caution, at least the cars are still driving. You got some pitting. You got something happening. There's something to look at. There's just, you know, grass everywhere.
Well, that's when you're on a golf course. You're supposed to be one with nature.
I don't like nature.
You're supposed to have a Zen meditation-like moment.
Yeah, well, me and Zen don't get along too well.
No.
You know, bugs, you know,
bugs. All
that kind of stuff. It was cold. You know, it's just, yeah. You know. But it was a first in a lifetime, and I loved it. And I'm going to watch the hell out of it this weekend. But, you know, as far as going to another one, no.
Well, try to stay awake, and if you need hydration during the show, it's only a 4-hour show, so it's a little less of a workout than you got yesterday.
Yeah, you know, 4-hour show, I only brought a 30-pack, so okay, I should be hydrated enough.
Well, I've still got a 12-pack in my car.
Oh, backup, sweet, smart, yeah. Very smart.
Yeah, so I always bring that. So, well, we should be fine for the show. Jeff Orlowski here in for Toby. Toby is at the Ryder Cup today. Jeff was there yesterday. We're going to talk plenty of Brewers today. The Cardinals have now won 10 straight, and this has become a major annoyance. But hopefully this is an annoyance that we're dealing with now and not going to have to deal with again in the postseason. That would be great. We'll also talk some more Packers, our conversation with Ryan Wood coming up. Jeff, as you know, we like to talk Packers, and we're both owners, you and I. I've been pretty hard on Rodgers. I'm still pissed about that week one loss.
Yeah, well, you're an idiot, and I've heard you, you know, rally against the hero and all that kind of stuff, and I just shake my head and say, oh, Barty, you have fallen from grace, my friend.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to the dark side.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm a heel again. I was a face during the Bucks run.
Uh-huh.
I was a baby face, and then I made a heel turn when the Packers started playing.
Yeah, well, I'd rather look at the face.
Yeah, I know. I like rooting for our teams. I do. I mean, I love these teams. I have such high expectations for the Packers that I don't like that they come into week one, you know, totally don't even play, and then they're like, it's just 1 week, and they kind of treat it like their preseason. All these games count, though, and then they beat the Lions, and suddenly every troll is supposed to be answered. Every question you had about the Packers is supposed to be answered because you beat the Lions, who you needed the help of the rain to beat in the second half.
Right. Well, it's obviously not like that. You know, every question isn't answered. There's probably more questions after the Lions game than there was after the Saints game because, you know, when they get blowed out in week one, we all knew they weren't that bad of a team. And then, you know, Jameis Montana lays an egg in week two, and the Packers have a good second half against Detroit in week two and pick up a win. So, but, you know, while every question isn't answered, I don't know why you put the blame for the entire team not showing up on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. I think that fire would get lit under Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, no, I agree. LaFleur has had a problem having his team get up for some games. I think the Rodgers stuff is, it's too much for me. And I just wonder at what point does it affect, like I want them to win a Super Bowl, and this whole distraction of how Rodgers, you know, every game's got to be an F you to the haters. Like, I just wish we could play a football game and move on. I don't need to read pages from Aaron Rodgers' diary after every game. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but I can't believe that you are still in the camp that thinks that this team can win a Super Bowl. Like, you know, you've been a Packer fan for how long? You're not smarter than that by now? You know, I know going in what this team is. It's the same team as last year. You know, win the division, deep run in the playoffs, and come up short of the Super Bowl. You know, wash, rinse, repeat. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So do I have any inclination or any thought that Green Bay is going to host the Lombardi Trophy? Hell no, it ain't going to happen.
Well, I'm totally fine going into the season thinking, they're going to lose in the NFC Championship game again. I prepared myself for that. But then Rodgers is out there saying how special of a team it is, and he's making me think that there's going to be more this year, that finally they're going to get back to the Super Bowl. I'm buying into Rodgers. And then he goes and sucks week one, and then people are like, oh, geez, that was weird. And then he's like, oh, it's just one game. And then they win one game, and then he's like, see, I'm good. Well, all right.
He is good. He's the damn MVP.
Dude, he played so good on Monday.
It was awesome.
That throw to Tonyan.
Oh, God. Threading the needle.
That was remind me of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. There was movement, if you know what I mean, when I saw that throw. It kind of made me roll over and squeeze the old lady a little bit.
Oh, you had movement?
Oh, yeah.
I had a little pre.
Oh.
That throw really got me.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe that's why I've been so mad.
I was squeezing the old lady. You're grabbing an umbrella.
I'm Bart. That's Jeff Orlowski. Let's break this down with Ryan Wood. PackersNews.com. The Packers get the victory. I'm all focused on Aaron Rodgers, but there's much more to this game, including the defensive struggles, including the defensive struggles of one man, Kevin King. Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
And if he's playing good, I expect those guys next to him to be locked in as well. I'm not done yet. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I just was going to ask the comment you made about trying to show you like you care a little bit more. Did it look, obviously you cared last week, but did you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
What do you mean? How do you take that?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
A little bit of Aaron Rodgers after the game on Monday. So watch the game. Enjoy the game. Listen to the press conferences. See if there's anything, you know, for talking points. And you want to hear what they say anyway. And Rodgers is up there doing whatever. And I got to be honest, as we bring in Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, it's how I started the show after the win, because I just, whatever he does, like Rodgers, it ruins my enjoyment of watching him play when he does like this Joker performance art, as if he's like doing inside jokes for so, like, do you enjoy covering him, I guess, is what I'm asking, because I'm getting annoyed with him.
I really do. I feel like sometimes, just to be honest, that I'm in the minority of people that really dig Aaron Rodgers' personality, but I dig it. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, yeah, if you say the words, I dig it, then you seem to jive right along with this freak weirdo.
Does that mean that I annoy you too, Bart?
No, I'm kind of surprised. Well, you know, as a writer, I mean, yeah, Rodgers is great. This dude is complicated.
He is great. Yeah.
You never know what's happening with this guy. My problems with Rodgers, he always acts like he's three steps ahead of everybody when he's like right where we all are. Or he's always acting like there's something mysterious that we don't know, or like he's trying too hard to make it seem like he doesn't care when he totally cares. Like, I'm mad about the last 2 weeks for the bigger issue. I'm picking on his press conference, but I'm mad about the last 2 weeks. I'm mad about last week losing to the Saints and then just being like, oh, whatever. Just 1 week, and then you win this week, and it's like, this will shut up the trolls, but it's still 1 week. I'm mad that, you know, they treated the first game like a preseason game. Why is that okay? Why you lost a football game, and they're not going to get penalized for it because the NFC North is worse than ever, so it's not going to matter to you that you were allowed to do it. I just think I'm mad. I'm mad at the whole thing. That's where I'm at.
You're pretty angry for a guy who just saw the Packers win.
Oh, listeners are letting me have it, too. Because everybody wanted to, you know. Yeah, I've talked about all the good stuff. But, dude, they're going to go to San Francisco and lose. We're going to be 1-2.
Likely. I'll agree with you on that. And, you know, Pittsburgh the week after is no cupcake either. Look, I don't think that we really know what this team is going to be yet. I don't think that we're going to know in September. And I don't think that this was ever about September for this team. I don't think they looked at this as wanting to play their best football in September. I mean, they sure aren't. But they did against the Lions what they should do against a bad team, which was, granted, after a slow start, they beat them up pretty good in the second half. Aaron Rodgers had 5 incompletions and 4 touchdown passes. Pretty good. Granted, one of those touchdown passes was basically a run on one of those jet passes to Aaron Jones, but he said it last night. He was he played with much better timing, and he did play with much better timing than he did against the Saints, and that's everything for Aaron Rodgers, especially at this point in his career. If he's on time, he's accurate. He's accurate. He's deadly. As far as the way that Aaron Rodgers carries himself, look, I've got no problem with confidence if you can back it up. It's the people in this world that have that kind of confidence and can't back it up, and there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them.
Me!
Really irritate me. Aaron Rodgers, he knows who he is, and he acts like it, and as long as he backs it up, I personally don't have a problem with that.
Well, I just want to set the record straight. I don't have a problem with you at all. You're like the one guy up there I actually like, so.
Oh, I appreciate you too, Bart.
Packers get the...
I think we just had a moment here.
Yeah, if we were like together in a room, we might have like touched hands or something. The Packers win. The offense, I'm going to give... So, as like, I am trashing Rodgers on the press conference stuff. I am praising him for the way that he played. Obviously, no duh. You just laid out his stats. He was great. The Robert Tonyan touchdown looked like the Greg Jennings touchdown in Super Bowl 45, which was his best game ever. And then also, the Lions clearly were going to try to run a certain defense against them, the same that the Saints ran. And all Rodgers had to do to win that game was be patient, and he could take a shot when it unveiled itself. And when it unveiled himself, it took a shot. He got Devontae third down and long, single coverage. He took the shot. He had some shots to MVS. You know, he's kicking himself that he missed those. But he was patient. He let Aaron Jones do a lot of the work. He found, you know, Bobby Tonyan when he needed to. He worked Randall Cobb into it. I can't say enough about the offense.
It was the offense that they had last year, almost all of last year, unless they were playing the team from Tampa. This was the offense that led the league in scoring last year. And as great as Aaron Rodgers was, and as great as Devontae Adams was, 8 catches, 121 yards, had the 50-yard bomb, it was all about the running game. And it's just, it's always, even now, it's still kind of startling that on a team that has an offense that has the reigning NFL MVP, the reigning best receiver in the game, Aaron Jones is the engine that makes it all go. If he erupts, and he did 4 touchdowns, this offense is at its peak. If he doesn't, the rest of the offense suffers because of it. So getting Aaron Jones on track was everything, and they obviously did, and both as a runner and in the passing game. And they might have stumbled upon, you know, this solution for the blueprint, I'm using air quotes, the blueprint defense that they're going to see week in and week out. The Lions used a lot of two-shell last night, just like the Saints did the previous week. And when you do that, one, got to run the ball. So it was obviously extremely important that Matt LaFleur stayed committed to the run game, even when they fell behind 7-0 before ever getting the ball. He stuck with the run game. But two, if the defense is going to play 2 deep safeties, that leaves a linebacker underneath to cover your running back. And Aaron Jones against just about any linebacker in the league is a mismatch in coverage. And I think that you're going to see more and more of this until defenses break out of the two-shell look is Aaron Jones as a receiver and what he can do out of the backfield catching the football. So, look, the running game sets up everything else for this offense. It did in 2020. It's why it's a big reason Aaron Rodgers was so dangerous on the way to winning his third MVP last year, was because of the running game. It opens things up for Devontae Adams, and you saw that again.
You're also seeing, I think, the offensive line exceed expectations for being without David Bakhtiari. You know, Rodgers runs into a sack there, but the offensive line, I think, Ryan's it's holding up pretty well.
It really is. You know, Aaron Rodgers said that he stepped into a couple sacks. He's been sacked 4 times in 2 games, which is on pace to be quite a bit more than. I mean, that's 32 sacks in the season on pace. He had was sacked 21 times last year, so quite a bit more. But he said that it was really on him. He took responsibility for that. He took responsibility for going 0-for-3 on deep shots to MVS. Those are the two things that he took a lot of responsibility for. He said it killed him that he missed MVS. He was open 3 times. He overshot him 3 times. So MVS, 4 targets, 0 catches. Really, Aaron Rodgers said it was more on him than the receiver. But as far as the offensive line goes, the pass protection was frankly pretty good against the Saints. It was one of the few areas on offense that wasn't a major problem against the Saints. The difference was in the run game. They got a lot more push up front. than they did against New Orleans. And that's obviously going to be important because, again, you've got to be able to run the ball against two-shell defense.
So we can talk about the offense. And then on the other side of the ball, there's the defense making, in the at least in the first 5.5 quarters of the season, Jameis Winston and Jared Goff looking really good. I think, yeah, Joe Barry made some adjustments at halftime. The biggest adjustment was it started raining because then Jared Goff couldn't hang on to the football. What did you see with the adjustments with Joe Barry? How much better did that defense play in the second half, or did the weather have a bigger role to play than I think we're talking about?
The weather, and then also the fact that the Packers got a lead and were able to control that game. You know, the defense can't hurt you if the offense is on the field, right? And that was a big part of the second half. The offense got going. They stayed on the field and kept Joe Barry's defense on the sideline because it has not looked good. The first four possessions for the Lions, two touchdowns and a field goal. And granted, they didn't get anything after halftime. And they finally got a couple turnovers, although without Za'Darius Smith, it's going to be tough sledding from a pass rush standpoint, getting any real pressure or getting home on the quarterback. It just ain't happening with any regularity whatsoever. That's a problem. But look, they've got to get better. And the fact that Matt LaFleur was the one that had to tell Joe Barry either blitz to generate some pressure or play coverage, because this four-man pressure with man on the backside, you're getting eaten alive. The fact that he had to say that at halftime, not promising. You know, there was no real adjustment until then. So it's got to get better. And I think the big question is this. It's only two games. And any other year, two games, such a small sample size, there's nothing but patience, especially with a new coordinator hire in two games. But this was a top 10 defense last year. Matt LaFleur made the decision to move on to Joe Barry to take the next step, not to regress. And everyone knows the Packers are all in. It's Super Bowl or bust in 2021. There might not be a 2022 contending window for this team. So if there's not a significant improvement in soon, the patience could get awfully thin with Joe Barry. I think that'd be very fascinating to watch going forward.
How do you play Kevin King and not have him be a negative on the defense? Like, this is like you got to hide him like you would hide the worst player on your team in left field growing up.
Well, they try to put him in the slot, which is just really bizarre, because usually you get smaller, quicker corners in the slot. Usually your bigger leverage corners are on the outside, where you can use that length against the sideline, and they're usually stuck on the perimeter. And so it was interesting to see him inside. You know, I don't understand why Jaire Alexander's not getting more slot snaps. I mean, all this offseason talk about Joe Barry's defense, the biggest schematic talking point was the star position. And it's named that. The slot corner position is named the star position because the way that position, Joe Barry's defense, is supposed to be able to impact the game. And I understand the benefit or the appeal to having Jaire Alexander on the outside and just take away half the field. He's that type of corner. He's got that kind of coverage. You can just take away half the field. But he could do so much more as a player. His speed, he's undersized, but he's really tough against the run. His speed as a blitzer, as someone who can be used in that type of role for a defense that frankly needs some creativity when it comes to the pass rush, it's surprising that Jaire Alexander hasn't been the one in the slot more. I wonder if that'll change going forward. But as far as Kevin King goes, they try to put him in the slot. That's a way to get your top three corners. I mean, you want to get your top three corners on the field. It's Jaire Alexander, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, in some order behind Alexander. So they're trying to do that. I've been a staunch defender of Kevin King for years now. Packers fans have always had an issue, and you understand why, with Ted Thompson, the late Ted Thompson, drafting Kevin King over T.J. Watt. That's going to sting more and more and more as T.J. Watt became a star. But when you look at it, Kevin Keene's been a pretty good corner. He's really never struggled more in his career than these past two games in the NFC Championship game going last year. This has been about the lowest he's played. You wonder about his confidence, and he's been a good corner in this league. He's got to find a way to return to that.
Yeah, he's got to do it quick because it's been rough for him. Ryan Wood, we will catch up on Thursday, preview this Niners game, which I think a lot of us are dreading, but we will talk then.
Try to find some joy, Bart. Try to find some joy.
I think you've brought me joy.
I've never had anyone ever in my life say that, so hey, this is a big day for me.
Yeah, me too. All right, thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com. Paul tweets in, says, maybe, Bart, you're just still mad about Tampa and possibly all the way back to Seattle. I know I am. It makes the whole regular season something to just get through. I just want to say, shut up, Aaron, get to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl again. Yeah, I mean, there's something to that. I mean, the Packers, I have talked about this with the Bucs. If the Bucs would have lost in the Eastern Conference Finals or to the Nets or to the finals, in the finals, when your expectation is championship or bust, the regular season, there is some element of a chore to it, you know? So you got to go through it. You got to get back. I talk about this with video games all the time. Before you could save in video games, or before Call of Duty cheat codes were being thrown out by hackers 2 months before the game dropped, you'd play a video game, and if you died in Mario on 8-1, there was no save point. You had to start over and play your way back to 8-1 before you could try to beat Koopa again. You know what I'm saying? So that's the situation with, you know, the regular season and so on and so forth, is that maybe I want the playoffs again. But I love the regular season with football. There's only 17 games. Well, there is 17 games now, but football, every game feels so big. You know, even like the first game of the year felt like the Super Bowl between Tampa and Dallas. The games on prime time have been great. I love every part of it, but I do have big aspirations for this team. One of the reasons that I enjoy the Brewers regular season so much this year, and they lost to the Cardinals last night, we'll get into that, is because they're, you know, you didn't know what the expectations were. Expectations were maybe win the Central, and the regular season's been so fun, and they've exceeded those expectations. So in this, you know, in America where we have playoffs, and I'm thinking of like, you know, soccer overseas, sorry, where there's no playoffs, but the regular season, it's like, to some teams it's more important. To some teams, it's less. And I think we all know we're going to win the North, even if we don't try. They're going to win the NFC North. And so we just want to get back to the point where we see if we win the Super Bowl or not.
Well, it's amazing how expectations can either raise or lower the amount of fun you have during the season. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we all expect the Packers to win the North, to make a nice playoff run. And then, you know, wake me up, once the playoffs start, where, like you said, with the Brewers, they've since set so many franchise benchmarks, so many franchise records this year. You know, I know at least personally going into this season, I didn't think this team was going to win 95 to 100, you know, ball games. And they can, and they're going to. So, I've had a hell of a lot more fun during the regular season run of the Brewers here than I will so far with the Packers and going forward with the Packers.
Even when, like, the regular season, when the Brewers made the regular season, like, this month they could kind of coast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're losing some games and, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you want them to win, but ultimately they're still winning the Central. So even when it's, like, coast mode to the playoffs, they're throwing complete games. They threw a no-hitter. Like, they have the walk-off with Vogelbach. They're giving you reasons to tune in every night and excitement in the series with the Cardinals. It's must-see TV, and there's another big game tonight, although Brett Anderson's pitching, and so he'll probably last just two-thirds of an inning because he'll put a guy on base and then want to go home. But I do think that with – and this – I'm trying to fight against the mantra that we're entitled town. I don't think that that's necessarily fair or true. I get that we're in a spot where even just what I said, oh, the regular season, poo-hoo. And some teams are like, no, dude, I mean, we'd love to just make the playoffs. Like if you look at the Lions the other night, I get that. But when you're this good for 30 years, yeah, your expectations change. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and he proved to you on Monday that he's still that good. You know, what he says in the press conferences aside, he's terrific. He's an outstanding player. And so I'd like to see another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. The fact that they haven't even been back to one since 2010, and Aaron Rodgers has been here this whole time. It's you know, it's one thing to have a terrible franchise and to watch a team like the Lions and never have any hope.
Right.
I don't think we were talking to Dan Plucker, who is a Lions fan. He hasn't seen his team win a playoff game in his life.
I hope he never does.
In his life.
Yeah.
And
well, he's only been alive for about 17 years.
Yeah, that's right. There's this new wave of fanboys we have here are like 18 years old.
Yeah, yeah, they're just babies. But,
Toby's only going to the Ryder Cup today because he finally got off his driver's permits yesterday.
Well, I think yesterday, he was so excited yesterday. I was talking to him on the phone because he sat there and he set up, you know how like if you go to Great America and they've got that little stick and you have to be over the stick to be able to go on the ride? He was finally just grew enough to be tall enough to go to the Ryder Cup. It was such a proud moment for little Tobes. I was so happy for him.
Let's not be too mean to Toby. He does nothing to bring this on.
I love that kid.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. I'm Bart. That's Jeff Orlowski. We'll hear from you guys. Aaron Rodgers responding to trolls like me on the Pat McAfee Show. We'll hear from him. We'll talk Brewers as they now fall to the Cardinals 2 games in a row in this series. The Cardinals have won 10 games in a row. So suddenly they're changing the makeup of this National League playoffs. All that and more here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In this league, you better come ready to play and bring your best each and every week, because you just never know. So you always got to be on point. And I did think we had a pretty good week of prep, but I felt pretty good going into our prep versus New Orleans. And certainly when we went out there, it didn't look very good. So, you know, our guys, they're resilient. They'll continue to battle. We've got a lot of veterans, not only on the offense, but on the defense as well. And we got to continue to improve each and every day and each and every week. And we got to make sure we take it and look at it one game at a time. And you can never get too high on yourself in this league, because you will be humbled in a hurry. And I think, you know, that happened to us a week ago.
Matt LaFleur, you heard him right there, Pipe Bomb. You can never get too high. Wise words from the coach.
I beg to differ.
Jeff Orlowski here. Toby's at the Ryder Cup.
Hey, Tobes.
Jeff was there yesterday. All you Jamokes going to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, when are you going, Barty?
No.
No?
Nobody, no, I don't know.
If you went there, you would sit there, you could work off, you know, some of that 2 pounds of bacon you just ate for breakfast.
Yeah, thank you. You brought me breakfast. and I ate too much.
Hey, don't tell anybody. You ruined my reputation. People start thinking I'm nice or something.
Well, I'm like thankful, but I also resent you.
Okay.
I don't eat breakfast.
You what?
And I don't eat breakfast.
That's weird.
So now, well, I usually eat lunch at like 10:30.
Yeah, well, when you wake up at, 5:55 every day, that's lunchtime. That qualifies.
No, up earlier today because the kid got up.
Ooh.
And he is bossy.
Do you resent him as much as you resent me?
No.
Nah, you'll get there.
So he brought him in the bed because he wouldn't fall back asleep. And we're like, all right, buddy, go to sleep. And then he's like, agua. He wants water. So we give him a cup, and he goes, not this one. He wants a different cup.
Well, yeah, you're a first-time parent. Now that I'm on kid number three, we made that mistake a bunch, where I would sit there, like, I would make dinner, and then one or two or whatever, the kids wouldn't like it, so then I'd make them something else.
Yeah.
And that lasted for a little while until finally I was like, nope, you eat what I give you or you can sit there and make it your own damn self.
He's just so selective. He'll be like, daddy, sit on floor to play match cards. And I'll sit down on the floor. And he goes, not there, there. Oh. And then I move over like 2 feet. He goes, no, there. And I move 1 foot back. No, there, there. It's like,
oh God, he's got you trained, boy.
It's like,
he's got you trained.
And I end up sitting right back where I started.
It's like Barty Obedience School over there, except you're not the one in charge. You're not the teacher.
Oh my God, he's just grinding me. But I love him. Randy's on the south side, 799-1250. Randy.
Hey, Bart, how you doing?
Hey, Randy, what's up?
I understand what you're saying about Rodgers, but he's not the problem with this team. The offense is going to be fine. It's always been that way. The problem is, it's been a glaring hole for years, is our defensive line and our linebackers. It's been that way for years, and we keep on drafting cornerbacks like that's going to be the all. Well, we got another corner. Great. But you know what the problem is? I don't care if you have Charles Woodson and Deion Sanders as your corners. If you don't have a pass rush, you're it doesn't matter. I mean, we're making Jared Goff look like Lamar Jackson, getting 25-yard scrambles. I watch other teams, and, somebody gets the ball, and about 2 seconds later, there's three people on him. A guy gets the ball against us, and he's got 10 yards to run. I mean, it's been the same thing. We're plugging these small holes. And we got this huge glaring hole, and it never gets fixed. It drives me absolutely crazy. And then you look at teams like, Belichick. They go out and get him any player he wants. I understand why Rodgers is pissed off, because every year he sees the same crap. I don't know. It drives me absolutely nuts.
It is pretty amazing that, like I said, they get to the Super Bowl in 2010, and then what has been a consistent problem since – in the last decade, we always can look at the defense. The defense has always struggled. And they've been so good, Randy, at drafting running backs and receivers and offensive linemen. But on the defensive side of the ball, they can't seem to figure it out. Like Ryan Wood was saying, when they have a chance to take a pass rusher in TJ Watt, they take Kevin King, who is absolutely unplayable at this point. You can't seem to find anybody. Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster are brutal. Nick Perry was a guy that you paid in this decade, and then when you let him go, he isn't even entertained coming back to the league, or the league isn't even 31 other teams haven't even given him a phone call. So it's these guys that the Packers have, and then when they leave, it's like they're, and then the ones that are good, like Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde, they don't bring back.
Right, and then you also look at, Blake Martinez. Everybody was all over him, he doesn't do anything. The guy had 100 tackles every year. I mean, at least he was making tackles. Right now we have Amos, making 12 tackles a game. I mean, when your safety is making, all the tackles, that's not a good thing. I don't know. It just drives me nuts.
No, you're right in your frustration, Randy. Let your day turn around.
Right on.
See you, bud. Randy.
He's a wise man. He said a whole lot of truth there. What drives me nuts here, Bart, is that, you know, it seems like Joe Barry is the whipping boy. Well, you know, this defense sucked under Capers. It sucked under Pettine. And now, because it still sucks, we're going to blame Joe Barry. I think the problem goes a lot deeper than that. I think, you know, you might want to look at the front office. You might want to look at whoever you have scouting these guys that tells you that Kevin King is going to be great in the NFL because they're blind. They can't see crap. He sucks. So, you know, I think that all the people that are trying to pile on Joe Barry because, you know, it's the cool thing to do and what a lot of the talking heads are saying is just completely wrong. I feel bad for Joe Barry.
Wow.
Not too bad. You know, I'm not going to lose any sleep, you know. Joe but, you know, he doesn't deserve
this. I
didn't
expect you to be a Joe Barry stan.
He just doesn't deserve this, the poop storm that's coming down on him.
Well, there's some truth to that, yeah. I mean, I don't think that he should have been hired, but also the talent is bad. The talent's bad. Dean Lowry and Lancaster and Kiki, I mean, these guys aren't doing anything. Kenny Clark, I know he's good, and he sucks up double teams for the other guys to make plays, but they don't make plays. And at some point, like Kenny Clark, I don't remember him making a play. Like, I understand he gets a lot of attention, but at some point I'd like to see him make a play. He had the opportunity for a sack in week one, and he blew right by the guy. He missed. He missed Winston. The linebackers, I mean, Preston Smith is good sometimes. Rashawn Gary, I need him to make that leap. He's not quite made that leap yet. I don't know what's going on with Zadarius. It looks like you might have some in Eric Stokes, who is at least better than Kevin King at this point.
Yeah, Stokes looked okay.
I like the secondary. Let's get out to Mike, 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. I just wanted to call to say that we need more Orlowski in the morning.
Oh, no, I agree.
I love you, Mike. You're a wise, wise man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That's all?
That's it, man. I'd give you more, but I'm a shy guy.
Oh, that's okay. Well, thanks for getting up some courage to give Jeff a little plug.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you, Mike. I envision you, Jeff, if I could have if I had a budget of $1 million to afford your salary. Like when Howard Stern had Artie Lang sit with him, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's what I envision you as.
Before or after the overdoses?
Like right in the middle during.
Nice. Mid-train wreck. All right.
Yeah, that's what I could go for.
That's awesome.
So I'll be Howard. Toby can be Robin. you can be Artie. You can be Artie Lang. And Horvath can pop in every now and then like Jackie Martling.
Okay.
So that's what you could do.
There we go.
That's what I'm thinking.
I like it. I like it.
How about that? So I had a fan this week, somebody that called in just to say that they liked me, and now you have a fan, so now we're tied 1-1 for the week.
Well, that's very nice, and what a nice dude Mike is. So thank you. That's great.
Jeff.
I'm blushing.
Not even an hour in and you're planting phone calls today. Unbelievable.
I try. I do what I can.
Unbelievable. Hey, we're going to talk some Brewers coming up. They lose to the Cardinals. They had their opportunities. They certainly did, but just couldn't get there. We'll also hear from Aaron Rodgers, who on Pat McAfee's show yesterday tells clowns like me to shut the hell up. Much, much more coming up. I'm Bart Winkler. Jeff Orlowski in today. What a treat on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.